The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello, this is Jen Rogers from the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is All About Pets. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from the New York Times, Catster.com, and Dogster.com. On today's program, we'll start with an article titled More Shelters Make Room for Four-Legged Friends by Elizabeth A. Harris from the New York Times. Shelters recognize that many would rather sleep on the street than leave their animals behind. Father Joe's Villages is a homeless shelter and detox facility in downtown San Diego that can house about 800 people a night. On a campus spread across several city blocks, it offers on-site health and dental clinics, a therapeutic child care center, and vocational training in disciplines like welding and facilities management. Father Joe's also offers dog crates, kibble, and pet washing stations with friendly blue tiles, because anyone who stays there is welcome to bring pets. Most shelters don't allow pets other than service animals, so if a client wants a bed, they need to find somewhere else for the animal to stay. If they can't, they have to surrender their beloved old cat or their kid's pet bunny to animal control, an often devastating calculation at an already difficult time. And there are plenty of people who would rather sleep on a sidewalk than give up their dog. As homelessness in cities around the country has reached a crisis point, shelter operators and animal welfare agencies say more shelters have begun allowing pets, hoping it will encourage people to come inside or leave dangerous situations at home. "I wasn't going to abandon him," said Anthony Lanigan, who is staying at Father Joe's Villages alongside his gentle Rottweiler Doberman mix, Mr. Beans, whom he adopted about a year ago. "I took him on as a responsibility because he was no longer wanted, and for me to leave him on the streets because I have nowhere to go, it's not something I'm into," Mr. Lanigan said. "I would have stayed out there with him," he added, "and I think most people would." Most animal guests at Father Joe's Villages, who started accepting pets in 2020, are dogs, but any pet that's legal is welcome. It has partnership with animal welfare agencies which provide food, training, and veterinary services. "We're seeing shelters much more intentionally including pets now all over the country, and in other countries too," says Shoshana Mostoller, director of programs at My Dog Is My Home, a nonprofit founded about a decade ago to increase access to shelter and housing for people with pets. She said the practice has been more prevalent at domestic violence shelters and is now growing at homeless shelters. Brenda Santiago found her first cat, Rainbow, hiding under a van in a parking lot of an ambulance service she was working for in the Bronx. The kitten, dark brown with a fluffy white belly and only half a tail, was meowing miserably in a soaking rain. Miss Santiago scooped her up, put in her hat, and went home. A few years later, she welcomed a second cat, a gray tabby named Kitty. Cats were a comfort to her in the face of a difficult partner, a woman who became volatile, then abusive. Eventually, Miss Santiago decided it was too dangerous to stay and walked out into the cold. After she left, her partner smashed windows and broke their televisions. She pulled Miss Santiago's clothes out of the closet and bleached them. "I have to get out of here," Miss Santiago recalled thinking. "But the first thing I thought about was Rainbow and Kitty. I cannot leave them behind." Miss Santiago was given a bed at Pal's Place in Brooklyn, a domestic shelter that has allowed pets since it opened in 2018. It has a small dog run in the back, what looks like a jungle gym equipment for puppies, and a roof deck with non-toxic bushes and plants. Miss Santiago said the cats are like family to her and helped her heal. "I was broken into pieces," she said. "But once I had my babies in their carriers and we went into my apartment in Pal's Place, I said, okay, I'm ready now. I said to myself, I'm ready to begin my life once again." Pal's Place is operated by Urban Resource Institute, which runs 10 pet-friendly domestic violence shelters in New York City. This spring, in Queens, the organization opened a new shelter in partnership with the city, Magnolia Gardens, which was to be Urban Resource Institute's first pet-friendly family shelter. The city said it would provide $250,000 to cover veterinary care, pet food, and an animal behavioral specialist, according to the Urban Resource Institute. But that money was left out of Mayor Zohran Mamdi's $125 billion executive budget for New York City, which he announced this month. The shelter is now in a holding pattern, and pets are not allowed. This isn't a nice-to-have program, said Lauren Schuster, the external affairs officer at Urban Resource Institute. It's a critically important factor in whether people will access shelter or not. Representative for the Department of Social Services says the city is investing millions of dollars on infrastructure and services at Magnolia Gardens, and that it remains committed to working closely with the provider and philanthropic organizations to support additional staffing for on-site pet-friendly services in the near future. Riley Spigarelli, the executive director of Bethesda House in Bowmanville, Ontario, which serves women fleeing gender-based violence, said the shelter began allowing pets in 2015 because women frequently called its hotline looking for help but refused to leave their pets behind. Some worried that abusive partners would hurt the animals, or they were parents who didn't want their children to lose their pets. Moms don't want to add more trauma and more separation when they already feel like their family's falling apart, Ms. Spigarelli said. The more shelters have started allowing pets in recent years, she said the need is still far greater than what's available. In just the month of April, Bethesda House turned away 32 women in need of shelter who said they had pets because there weren't enough beds. Garrett Parsons, the services director at Found House Interfaith Housing Network in Cincinnati, said their pet program started more than 10 years ago when a turtle named Slowpoke, whom a preteen was hiding in his Found House locker. They set up kennels on the bottom floor of their facility in what used to be offices and created a program that now takes pets for anyone in crisis, including people who are hospitalized, incarcerated, or experiencing homelessness. At Noah's Animal House in Las Vegas, pets stay in a house next door to a family shelter. The house has cuddle rooms with sofas and overstuffed chairs and cat play spaces attached to the walls. Many spaces and shelters are shared, bathrooms, mealtimes, bedtimes, so families can go to their cuddle rooms with their pets to spend time together privately. Organizations like Urban Resources Institute and My Dog Is My Home say they sometimes feel questions from shelters that would like to allow animals, but worry that it might be too complicated or a liability. A lot of people think they can't do it because of allergies or damages they think are going to be caused, but that's just not the reality that we see, Ms. Spigarelli said. At Bethesda House, she said, pets stay in their owners' rooms, which minimizes allergy exposure, and the more substantial damages they've seen in 11 years are scratch marks on doors. Father Joe's villages, many of the rooms are communal, and dogs sleep in crates next to their owners, who stay on the bottom level of a bunk beds. If someone doesn't want an animal nearby, the animal moves. And never mind the animal, sometimes two people can't get along, says Deacon Jim Vargas, chief executive of Father Joe's. So we try to work with them. If it's a change of room or unit, we do that. We try to make it so it works for individuals. Next, we'll move on to Dogster.com. with an article by Nicole Cosgrove titled, 11 Vet Verified Reasons to Get a Dog, Why They Are the Best Pets. While any avid owner can gladly expound on the meaning their pets bring into their lives, would-be pet parents can't always see the rationale in getting a dog. After all, dogs cost money and time, often hampering social plans and seemingly limiting personal freedom. There's no doubt that they're cute and deserving of a good home, but is owning a dog a net benefit for their human? The truth is that for every potential drawback, there are several advantages of owning a dog, many of which people don't realize until they have a pet in their home. If you're on the fence about adopting, we'll help you get it off with these interesting and fun reasons to get a dog. The 11 reasons to get a dog. 1. Dogs may help prevent loneliness. Most dog owners admit that their pets make them feel less lonely, prevent social isolation, and help them connect with others. Some theories suggest dogs serve as attachment figures for children, adults, and seniors, offering vital social support. 2. Dogs are good for the heart and a longer life. Dogs may contribute to better overall health and even a potentially longer life. Dog ownership can potentially positively impact heart health in several ways, including preventing obesity, lowering blood pressure and hypertension, improving HDL and total cholesterol levels, reducing bodily responses to stress. Therefore, dog ownership may be associated with lower long-term risk of death. One study found owning a dog was connected with a 31% reduced risk of cardiovascular mortality and a 24% reduction for causes of any kind. 3. Owning a dog can lower your stress. Alongside reduced feelings of depression and loneliness, stress reduction is a consistently reported effect of dog ownership. Owners often state they feel less stress, especially when they sense a strong connection and consider a dog part of a family, making them potentially better for lowering anxiety than other pets. Studies have shown the physical signs of stress reduction. Brief owner-dog interactions can promote a lowered heart rate, decreased cortisol, and increased oxytocin levels. Actions like petting can help owners relax, feel happier, enjoy physical benefits, and enhance their bond with their dogs. 4. Dog owners become more active. Dog owners and their kids can benefit physically from the daily walks and playtime sessions their dogs demand. An adult dog owner's odds of meeting the 150 minutes a week physical activity goal are up 4 times higher than non-owners. While the degree to which your dog ownership can help with physical activity varies by location, it appears that you'll be more likely to get your steps in when you have a dog, no matter where you live. The increased activity further leads to lower stress, obesity, and disease risk, leading to better mental health and physical well-being. 5. Owning a dog can improve your sleep. While a dog's polyphasic sleep patterns may cause some disruptions while sleeping, owning a dog can help many people get a better night's rest. Their increased physical activity and improved health that dog ownership offers may naturally raise the likelihood of better sleep, with some studies suggesting a dog may help owners fall asleep quicker. 6. Dogs improve social ties and help us make friends. Dogs don't only help isolated individuals stave off loneliness, they can enhance their relationships with others. Dogs offer a conversation starter and an immediate connection with their dog owners. The dog requires owners to get out in the neighborhood, and the physical fitness perks improve energy to socialize. For many owners, having a dog can improve their perceptions of their neighborhood, making them feel safer and more confident in those around them. 7. Owning a dog can improve your love life. Owning a dog may help combat loneliness in more ways than one. If you need help getting a date, adopting a pet could be a perfect solution. Men and women tend to think those who adopt dogs are more attractive and more likely to view pets in online dating profiles as a turn-on. The appeal of having a dog is unique, as cat owners are much less likely to be seen as more attractive because of their pet choice. The difference may be due to the social aspects of owning a dog and the distinctive attachments and dynamics they share with their caregivers. 8. Dog ownership improves self-esteem. When you feel good physically, mentally, and emotionally, your self-perception is bound to improve. Dog owners generally boast higher self-esteem than people without dogs, including only those who only own cats. Physical and social benefits and familial bonds unique to dog ownership support a more positive perspective on one's life. 9. Owning a dog may deter criminals. Dogs' enhanced sense of smell, exceptional hearing, and constant alertness can be highly beneficial in keeping your home safe. Studies find homes with dogs are less susceptible to crime, and many burglars note canine companions as a top deterrent. You don't have to have a vicious guard dog to impact your home security. The loud bark of a smaller watchdog runs the risk of alerting homeowners and neighbors, and many criminals are hesitant to engage dogs of any size. 10. Dog owners visit the doctor less. Although dogs may come in with distinct care costs, they can also indicate savings in other areas. The health benefits potentially associated with ownership may correlate with fewer annual doctor visits for pet parents. Although other factors may be at play, dog ownership's undeniable physical and mental benefits are easily connected to better well-being and a lower need to check in with the doctor. 11. Owning a dog promotes a routine and better health. Keeping a consistent daily routine isn't always easy, but being responsible for others is sometimes more motivating than being responsible for oneself. Dogs thrive on the predictability of a consistent daily schedule, giving owners a reason to get organized. Meanwhile, you can enjoy direct benefits with the added structure in your life. When you maintain a strict walking, feeding, and play schedule for your dog, you have a better shot at managing the rest of your day around those aspects. Activities like sleeping, shopping, eating, and exercise fill out the rest of your routine. You'll find yourself stressing less and developing better habits in no time. Finding the best dog for you. The numerous health and social perks of dog ownership aren't necessarily a certainty. A fulfilling relationship and maximum benefits are only possible with a dog that suits your lifestyle, budget, and living situation. The following are some of the focal considerations to help you determine which dog would offer the best fit and most enjoyable ownership experience. Size. Larger dogs are often gentle with children and make good quality guard dogs, while smaller dogs are less expensive to own and more adaptable to different situations, such as apartments. Hypoallergenicity. Some dogs shed less than others, with some being almost shed-free, allowing for less household cleanup and more allergy friendliness. Activity levels. Many medium and large breeds are more physically capable of joining you for hikes, jogs, sports, and other activities, and others are low energy and content to lounge in the house. Sociability. Some dogs love kids, strangers, and other animals, while others are more reserved, have a high prey drive, or a higher chance of dog aggression. Schedule. Many dog breeds are more prone to separation anxiety when owners go to work or spend extended time away from home. Property. Active dogs often need a dedicated outdoor space, i.e. fenced-in yard, for daily exercise. Final thoughts. Whether you want a safer home, better relationships, or a healthier body, a dog can be your ticket to countless life goals. While it isn't a decision to make lightly, it's a dog's life on the line after all. The pros of ownership almost always outweigh the cons. Setting all the personal benefits aside, the simple satisfaction you'll enjoy from giving the dog the quality of life they deserve can make the experience worthwhile for anyone. Next, we'll move on to an article also on Dogster.com titled, What Your Senior Dog Isn't Telling You, A Vet's Guide to the Seven Quiet Signs of Aging by Dr. Carolina Dominguez, DVM. Dogs instinctively conceal pain. After studying health data from thousands of dogs through Maven Pet, here are the patterns we've identified in senior dogs and the signals most pet parents overlook. As a veterinarian and research specialist at Maven Pet, I'm part of a team that analyzes real-world health data from thousands of dogs monitored at home. Our findings are validated in collaboration with the University of Tra Os Montes and Altadoro, the University of Florida, and Tufts University. And across all of that data, what I have observed in senior dogs has shaped something I believe every pet parent deserves to know. The greatest challenge of caring for an aging dog isn't what's visible. It's everything your dog isn't letting in. Dogs have a remarkable ability to adapt to discomfort. A stiff joint, a dull ache, the quiet onset of something off. They adjust so gradually that neither you nor they register a clear turning point. By the time a senior dog appears to be struggling, they've often been silently compensating for weeks, sometimes months. That's why we conducted the Maven Dog Aging Report, a full year of data from thousands of dogs wearing Maven, comparing senior dogs with adult dogs. From this internal report, we wanted to share the learnings that matter most to pet parents who are paying closest attention to their dog's aging journey. The quick answer for senior dog owners. The seven most reliable early signs of discomfort in senior dogs are subtle shifts in sleep, breathing at rest, drinking, recovery after activity, daily activity levels, weight, and moments of confusion. In the analysis of 1,000 dogs monitored at home, our 2026 internal report found that drinking time nearly doubles by the senior years, daily activity drops by 37%. Resting respiratory rate climbs 12.7% in early senior dogs aged 7 to 11. Here are the seven of the quiet ways senior dogs tell us something is shifting. Some you can spot just by paying closer attention, and none of them require you to be a vet. 1. The way they sleep. The first thing most senior dogs change is how they rest. Not how much, but how well. Watch for a dog who suddenly gets up multiple times at night or repositions every few minutes instead of settling. These are the earliest behavioral signs I look for when I suspect joint discomfort, cognitive decline, or breathing strain. They show up before the limp or the cough. Roughly 18% of the early health changes my team detects starts as a quiet shift in sleep. What you can do today. Watch your dog for 5 minutes while they sleep once a week. You'll learn they're normal and the abnormal becomes obvious. 2. The breathing you only notice when you look. When dogs are uncomfortable, one of the first changes happens before any visible sign. Their resting breath rate quietly creeps up. It goes unnoticed until you know what to look for. Relaxed, healthy dog asleep takes fewer than 30 breaths per minute. Persistent counts above that can be one of the earliest signs of heart strain or pain. In our research, roughly 20% of early health signs show up first as a change in resting respiratory rate. In our 2026 aging internal report, resting respiratory rate climbed 12.7% in early senior years, averaging 15.6 breaths per minute versus 13.9 in adults. Senior dogs in this stage were 57% more likely to be flagged by a respiratory rate monitor than adult dogs. What you can do today. Once a week, watch your sleeping dog for a full minute. Count the rise of their chest. Each rise followed by a fall equals one breath. Write the number down. Owners of dogs with heart conditions often track this automatically. This method is clinically validated in peer-reviewed paper, which gives cardiologists the confidence to recommend it. 3, the drinking shift. A senior dog who suddenly drinks more isn't just thirsty. Increased water intake is one of the earliest signs of kidney disease, diabetes, and Cushing's. These three conditions hit older dogs hard, but are all manageable when caught early. This is our strongest senior-specific signal we see in our data. Across thousands of dogs in our 2026 internal report, daily drinking time nearly doubled from adults to seniors, a 93% increase. Even in completely healthy senior dogs with no diagnosed chronic conditions, water intake rose by 45%. In other words, an uptick in your senior dog's water intake is not just getting old. It's a real physiological shift worth a vet conversation, even when nothing else seems off. What you can do today. Once a month, fill the bowl with a measured amount in the morning and check what's left 24 hours later. No precision needed, just a consistent baseline so a sudden shift becomes visible. Keep in mind, 4, the recovery time, not the activity itself. This is the most underrated signal in senior dog care. Owners often watch how much their dog walks. They miss how their dog recovers from walking. A dog who used to bounce back the next morning and now needs 2 quiet days is sending you information that it's harder to see than a limp, but just as important. Watch for reluctance to climb stairs the morning after a walk, decreased food entrance the day after exercise, or lingering panting at rest. All of these matter, especially if your dog is developing early signs of arthritis. What you can do today. For 2 weeks, jot down what your dog does the day after your longer outings. They slide from recovers in hours to needs days is gradual enough that you can only catch it if you're watching it. 5, the activity gap most owners don't realize they have. This is one of the biggest surprises in our research. Across more than 2,000 dogs in our data set, the average dog gets about 33 minutes of real activity a day. Nearly half get less than 30 minutes. When we focused on senior dogs, specifically in our 2026 internal report, daily activity time dropped by 37% from adults to seniors. The decline holds even in healthy senior dogs with no chronic conditions, confirming it reflects normal aging itself, not just a disease. The drop is gradual enough that most owners miss it. A dog's breed doesn't accurately predict the dog you actually have. What matters is the trend over time for your senior dog. A 12-year-old who used to spend 40 minutes active and is now doing 22 isn't just aging. They may be telling you something hurts. What you can do today. Watch your senior dog at the same time each day and track how the walk changes over month. The amount of change matters more than the number. 6, the weight that stays quiet. Weight change in senior dogs happens slowly enough that it often goes unnoticed unless someone who hasn't seen the dog in months points it out. But both directions matter. Loss of muscle mass, sarcopenia, is clinically significant even when appetite seems normal. And senior dogs can lose muscle while gaining fat. The scale alone will tell you the full picture. Weight gain increases the load on aging joints and can signal hormonal changes. What you can do today. Have your vet weigh your dog every 6 months and ask specifically about muscle mass over the spine and hindquarters. That's where loss shows up first. Watch for weight change of more than 5 to 10% over 6 months, a pot-bellied appearance, or visible muscle loss over the hindquarters or spine. 7, the moments of confusion. Canine cognitive dysfunction, CCD, affects an estimated 30 to 60% of dogs over 11. It's one of the most underdiagnosed conditions seen in older dogs because the early signs look exactly like she's getting old. Watch for pacing in the evenings, getting briefly stuck in corners of familiar rooms, staring at walls, increased anxiety around dusk, or seeming confused in places they've lived for years. There's no cure for CCD, but diet changes, environmental adjustments, omega-3 supplementation, and certain medications can meaningfully improve quality of life when started early. What you can do today. If you've seen 2 or 3 of these patterns over the last month, bring it up at your next vet appointment. Lead with, here are 3 things I've noticed, not, I think she's getting senile. It's not about diagnosis, it's about observation. If you read this list and feel a little bit behind, we're all behind. It's common cases where the owner is doing everything right and early arthritis signal still goes undetected for months because the dog is good at it. Comfort is the goal. Dogs don't usually announce their discomfort. They adapt to it, compensate for it, and push through it in ways that can make them seem fine past the point of when they actually are. Track patterns weekly, weigh monthly, and bring in observations to your vet before they become emergencies. comfort, not diagnosis, is the goal. Next, we'll move on to catster.com with an article by Dr. Paula Cuevas, How Cats Are Helping to Cure Cancer. When most people think about medical breakthroughs, they picture scientists in laboratories and clinical trials involving human patients. Few would imagine that cats with whom we share our homes and sofas would be involved in human cancer research, but it turns out that they may have a pivotal role to play. A recent study investigating a new treatment for feline oral squamous cell carcinoma, an aggressive cancer that affects the mouth, has highlighted the growing role cats are playing in cancer research. The experimental therapy showed promising results in feline patients, but researchers believe the findings may also help advance treatments for people with similar forms of cancer. This study shines a spotlight on a fascinating field known as comparative oncology, where naturally occurring cancers in animals help scientists better understand the disease across species. It's an area of research that is transforming the way we think about both veterinary and human medicine. What is comparative oncology? Comparative oncology is based on a simple but powerful idea. Diseases do not always respect species boundaries. Through vastly different in many ways, humans, cats, and other animals share numerous biological pathways. Cancer cells often use similar mechanisms to grow, spread, and evade the immune system, regardless of whether they develop in a person or a pet. Researchers working in comparative oncology study these patterns to accelerate discoveries that may benefit multiple species. In many ways, it's a practical example of the One Health approach, which recognizes the close connections between animal health, human health, and the environments we share. For cat owners, that means advances in veterinary medicine can contribute to human health care. While innovations developed for people may eventually become valuable tools for feline patients, something that is also seen in the development of treatment for feline infectious peritonitis, FIP, and human coronavirus. When cancer looks surprisingly similar across species. As veterinarians, we often need to remind pet parents that cats are not small humans. Their nutritional needs, behavior, and physiology are uniquely feline. However, when it comes to some diseases, the similarities between cats and humans can be remarkably striking. Certain feline cancers share genetic, molecular, and biological characteristics with cancer seen in people. An oral squamous cell carcinoma, SCC, is one of such example. The recent study illustrates because this cancer behaves in many ways like certain human head and neck SCC, researchers can learn valuable lessons from studying it in its feline patients. Researchers evaluated an experimental therapy known as a STAT3 targeted cyclic oligonucleotide designed to block a protein that helps many cancers grow and survive. Some cats with oral SCC experience tumor shrinkage or disease stabilization, providing researchers with valuable information that could help guide future treatments for both feline and human patients. Please note this article was cut for time because we've run out of time for today's episode of All About Pets. We hope you've enjoyed listening. Please join us next time. I'm Jen Rogers, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. All About Pets is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.